In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the universal calendar of the Church today, and according to the ancient tradition, we celebrate the solemnity of the ascension of our Lord into heaven. And so this is the universal calendar, and now the whole world today, we celebrate the ascension of the Lord. However, the Vatican has given permission for dioceses to move the Feast of the Ascension to the Sunday. And the reason for this is to make it a little bit easier for people to go to Mass on the Feast of the Ascension rather than having it on Thursday. We know, of course, from sacred scripture that Jesus really did ascend on a Thursday. Right? We know that. In fact, I remember one time when I was having a discussion with someone, and we were talking about the 10 times that in sacred scripture, there's 10 times when it's recorded that Jesus appeared to the apostles after his resurrection. And as I was discussing this with another priest, he said to me, so would all of those times have been on Sunday? And I said, well, no, because the ascension is the 10th of the times he appeared. And of course, we know that happened on Thursday. So at least once he appeared on a day other than Sunday, namely on Ascension Thursday, which was 40 days after Easter. And that's made explicit in Acts chapter 1. He was with them for 40 days, and then he ascended before them. So you can count it out. It's been 40 days since Easter. Doesn't it seem like these 40 days went quicker than Lent did? It sure seems like it, doesn't it? And actually they did, because Lent doesn't count the Sundays. So, in any case, ascension. I want to say a couple of words about the transfer of the feast, a couple of things that I said in yesterday's homily as well. I'm going to say a couple of those same things again today, and then I want to make a little comment about the liturgy and the mystery of the ascension, what that teaches us about the liturgy. So I'll start again by reading these quotes from Joseph Cardinal Ratzinger, who you know, of course, as Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI. I just want to start with a couple of quotes from him reflecting upon this transfer of the ascension from Thursday to Sunday. And I'll read the quotes fairly directly, just making a few little variations to make it easier to understand what he's saying, just making a few little cut and paste here and there, but basically exactly what he says from a few of his books. So he says, quote, Joseph Ratzinger, quote, "One of the weaknesses of the Vatican II Mass can doubtless be traced to the armchair strategy of academics, drying up things on paper which, in fact, would presuppose years of organic growth. The most blatant example of this is the reform of the calendar. Those responsible simply did not realize how much the various annual feasts had influenced Christian people's relation to time. They ignored a fundamental law of religious life." And again, Joseph Cardinal Ratzinger states, "The liturgical reform after Vatican II, in its concrete realization, has distanced itself even more from its origin. The result has not been a reanimation, but rather devastation. In place of the liturgy, the fruit of a continual development, they have placed a fabricated liturgy. They have deserted a vital process of growth and becoming in order to substitute a fabrication. They did not want to continue the development, the organic maturing of something living through the centuries, and they replaced it in the manner of a technical reproduction by a fabrication, a banal product of the moment." And then again, finally, Joseph Ratzinger states, "I am convinced that the crisis in the Church that we are experiencing today is, to a large extent, due to the disintegration of the liturgy." So we have some very strong words from the man who would become the successor of St. Peter and the Vicar of Christ on earth, the Supreme Shepherd of the Church on earth. He calls the new Mass a fabrication, a banal product, right? A fabricated liturgy, devastation. And he says that the problems in the Church today can be traced to the way that armchair theologians cut up the Mass and recreated their own technical reproduction rather than allowing the liturgy to be a living thing that develops organically over time. So very, very strong words. And the most blatant example of this fabricated banal production would be changes to the calendar, like moving Ascension to Sunday. Right? Totally fabricated, and entirely banal. Since we know from sacred scripture that Jesus did in fact ascend on Thursday. It was Thursday that he ascended. Sunday he rose, Thursday he ascended. And of course the U.S. bishops know that very well too. So what do we say to this? Well, like I said yesterday, I want to be very clear. You cannot be saved if you deny the validity of the Second Vatican II Mass, okay? No one is going to be saved if they deny the validity of the new Mass. And Joseph Ratzinger celebrated the new Mass for many, many years, right? So, of course, no one is going to deny the validity of the new Mass. That's not what we're doing here. Neither can anyone be saved who rejects Vatican II. So the people down the street, you know, that Pius V church, right? That's a salvation issue. It's a salvation issue. You can't be saved if you reject Vatican II. You can't be saved if you reject Vatican II. It's just impossible. So we have to pray for their conversion, even as, of course, we hope that they pray for us too. And I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do. So we want to be clear about that. No one is denying Vatican II or denying the validity of the new Mass. However, Joseph Ratzinger probably does give us a moment to reflect on the nature of the liturgy. Because what is the Mass all about? Do I take the Mass and accommodate it to myself? Do I take the Mass and accommodate it to mundane realities, that is, to the things of this earth? Or rather, does the Mass lift me up to higher things? Right? Do I change the Mass, or does the Mass change me? This would be the great question. Do I change the Mass, or does the Mass change me? That would be the great question. And I'm not saying that it's entirely one or the other, of course. Obviously, it's not entirely one or the other. But what is our basic outlook towards the Mass? What is our basic outlook to the liturgy? Do we say it's inconvenient to have a feast on Thursday, so we'll just move it to Sunday, for example? Do we say we'll just ignore the Bible and just move a feast to Sunday to make it more convenient, right? Do I change the Mass, or do I let the Mass change me? Do I pull the Mass down to the world, or do I allow the Mass to exalt the world and to bring us closer to heaven? This is our great question today. Now, this is all good to think about, especially on the day in which our Lord ascended into heaven. Why does the Ascension call to mind this mystery of the Mass and the way that the Mass calls us to a higher life and to higher things? Just a very brief word about this mystery, and then we'll conclude the homily. Consider the ascension of Jesus into heaven. The apostles struggled because they wanted Jesus to remain with them in the manner in which he had been with them before his resurrection. They wanted him to still be with them where they could see him, where they could talk to him, where they could touch him, where they could share a common meal with him. They wanted to go back to that life before the crucifixion. That's what they were hoping for, right? In fact, what did they say right before he ascended? Oh, Lord, now are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? You know, now do we get those thrones that you talked about earlier? Do we get to all sit together and hang out? And Jesus says, no, I'm leaving. You know, that hang out is the technical Greek translation there. That's a joke. Okay, so the point being, the apostles, their hearts and minds had to be lifted, right? They had to be lifted. They were thinking of the things of earth, and they had to be lifted to the things of heaven, right? They wanted ordinary life, and they wanted to take the risen Lord and make him ordinary again. That's what they were trying to do there. They weren't doing it in a wicked way by any means, right? They had very good intentions, very, very good intentions, but they were trying to take the risen Lord and bring him back down to their ordinary level. What did Jesus have to say to Mary Magdalene on the day he rose? He had to say, do not touch me, noli me tangere, right? Do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. So it's this change that is brought about by our Lord's resurrection and finally his ascension into heaven, that he is no longer present among us in the way in which he had been present before his death. Right? Okay, so now what does this have to do with the Mass? The Jesus present in the Mass is the risen Jesus. It's the risen Jesus who's present to us in the Mass. It's not the Jesus from the time in Galilee. It's not the Jesus with whom the apostles conversed along the seashore. It's not the Jesus where they sat around with him around the campfire and shared stories and sang Kumbaya, if they did something, right? They might have. But that's not the Jesus who's present in the Mass. That's not the Jesus present in the Mass. It's the risen Jesus. It's the Jesus who has ascended into heaven. And so a change, a real change has taken place in Christ. And it means also that a real change must take place in our hearts. Sometimes you'll hear people say, when they look at the Mass, they'll say, "Do you think it was really like that at the Last Supper?" To which I say, it doesn't matter what it was like at the Last Supper. It doesn't matter what it was like at the Last Supper. Because that's not the Jesus who's present here. That's not the, he's not present in the same mode. Not present in the same mode. Right? The Mass is the representation of the sacrifice of Calvary, but the Jesus present in the Mass is the risen Jesus. We're not trying to get back to that time in Galilee. We're not trying to get back to that upper room. We don't look back. We don't look back. We look forward. We look forward to where Christ is risen, where he is ascended, where he reigns as King of the universe. It's not the buddy Jesus. It's not the buddy Christ, our buddy who's here. Yes, he's our dearest friend, yes. But he is now ascended, and he is the King of the universe. Of course, we can speak with him familiarly and continually. He wants us to speak to him very familiarly. But we need to realize that we're not trying to get back to the seashore of Galilee, but rather we're moving forward. Now then, in that context, we can approach all the questions of the liturgy today. Right? What's the goal? When you hear opinions about what the Mass should be, how what it should look like, how it should be, just ask yourself, what's the goal? What's the goal of that person's conversation there? What is that person really saying? What are they trying to do? Are they trying to bring us back to the days when we walked on the shore with Christ? You know, are they trying to go back to the pre-resurrection time? Or are they looking forward? Looking forward to where Christ is ascended, the right hand of the Father. Do we realize something has changed? Something has changed in Christ, and so something also must change in us. And he doesn't remain just here present among us in a worldly manner. No. But now he is ascended. And he calls us forward, calls us to think more of what is of heaven, to sanctify the world, and to lift it up. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.